Welcome to the first of what we hope are many Women of OpenStack podcasts. This podcast is brought to you by the Women of OpenStack, but it's going to cover topics that range across open source communities. So if you're not a current contributor to the OpenStack project or not necessarily involved, that's all right. Keep listening.
I'm Anne Bertuccio, and I work at the OpenStack Foundation with the OpenStack and Kata Containers communities.
And I'm Kendall Nelson. I'm an upstream developer advocate at the OpenStack Foundation. And today, we'll be talking about submitting your first conference talk. So being a conference speaker is, you know, pretty exciting. But if you've never done it before, it can also be wildly intimidating. So today we're going to talk to two women, one who is more of a veteran in the talk circuit and one who's a little bit newer and kind of getting started, and how they kind of struggle with the pressure to be a person who likes to give talks and getting over their fear of submitting.
And our first guest is Julia Krieger. She's a principal software engineer at Red Hat and is also a member of the technical committee of the OpenStack project. And she's also a core contributor to OpenStack Ironic, which is the bare metal project in OpenStack. Our second guest is Treva Williams, and she's a course author at the Linux Academy. And you can find her OpenStack tutorials all over the internet. And she's quickly becoming a known figure in the OpenStack community because she's really fearlessly just jumped into contributing. I think at the PTG, someone said she showed up in her room and said, "I like documentation." So they locked the doors and kept her in there forever.
That would be Swift.
They were very appreciative. And Treva spoke at her first OpenStack Summit this past November.
So kind of jumping into the questions. Julia, you're kind of a regular fixture on the keynote stages now. We have experience up there. But what was the first talk you ever gave?
The very first talk was at a university in front of a bunch of professors for a Linux users group like 20 years ago. And that was frightening. I was still in high school, I think. And it was that there was interest. Someone posted on the mailing list like, "I'm interested in FreeSWAM." And I was like, "Well, I happen to know a lot about it. I've been running tunnels between endpoints for a while. I can give a talk."
It sounds like you kind of saw maybe a need for it and then just ran with it.
And that's exactly what I've always kind of done. I've never really been afraid to pick up the whiteboard marker and go, "Okay, we're going to talk about this now," or try and walk people through things. You know, there's the fear up front of not knowing things, but, you know, you get over it. And it's not that big of a deal when you actually start stepping into it. And you don't have all the answers, but, you know, you're not going to have the same questions. They're going to have different questions. And you're going to be able to answer some of their questions. And sometimes you're not going to be able to. But you can usually show them in the right direction and find the answer.
That's really good advice. So for somebody that's newer to submitting talks, Treva, you just submitted your first talk a little while ago, right?
That's true.
What was that about?
Well, I actually submitted two. One was supposed to be a diversity panel. That one didn't make it. And the other one was on OpenStack and Ceph. And Ceph has very quickly become one of my favorite things, not just because their mascot is a cephalopod, but that was the first talk that I submitted, and it went through, and I was really shocked.
I know. I remember getting my first talk accepted, and I was dumbfounded. So, we all have these fears when we start submitting talks. You know, fears of rejection, fears of being critiqued and given negative feedback, fears of not being the smartest person in the room. But we also have like fears of demos failing in front of thousands of people.
Kendall, it sounds like you're talking from personal experience there.
So back in Boston, I followed up Julia's successful keynote with a demo that didn't really pan out. It was a bit of a blunder, I might say. Even after having done numerous run-throughs, and we did one that morning and it was perfect, we reset everything exactly the way we had done. And of course, when you're up there in front of everyone, that's when the demo gods decide to smite you, and it didn't work out. So yeah, we all face our fears and live to tell the tale. I think I personally gave more credibility to the other keynotes that happened throughout the week and their demos being successful because mine didn't work. But I think I pretty much faced the worst case scenario at this point and survived. So anything from here on out should be a walk in the park. So Treva, what were some of the things you were scared of for your first talk?
All of the things. All of the things. I was honestly scared that it would be accepted because then I would be responsible for actually doing things, writing about those things, having something interesting to show, and then showing them to a room full of people who may or may not be armed with tomatoes. That was my biggest fear.
I hope you don't have a tomato allergy. But aside from that one, how did you get over the rest of those fears of like, I am now responsible for being the expert, and all I did was send this into the CFP black hole, and it happened to come back positive?
It sounds like I got bad test results. That's just a great way to put that.
But it's kind of how it feels, right? Like the doctor calls you up. He's like, congratulations, you have a talk. You know, it's just, now you got to go do the rest of it. And you had to, I'm assuming, get yourself over the hurdle.
Yes. I would say that the hardest part was waiting. And then once I got back the confirmation that it had gone through like the initial reviews, and then get the confirmation that OpenStack community actually wanted to hear what I wanted to say, my entire way of thinking about it just completely flipped. Instead of being terrified, like, oh God, I have to do the thing, and oh God, I have to talk about the thing, it was like, hey, people are actually interested in what I want to say. Let me write out some things that are interesting. And that made it much, much easier to cope with. Like, it was interesting how it just kind of flipped over that way.
You know, that's a really good point. We got a comment on Twitter where someone said that you have to trust in the talk selection process. And if the track chairs and the programming committee decide that you're good enough to do this, that should assuage your fears that I'm not good enough to do this.
Right. And considering how many proposals there are to go through every time a summit comes up, and that my little bitty little paragraphs, people found that interesting, that was very empowering and inspiring.
It really is, at least for me, and that has always kind of helped get me over the initial hurdle of, oh, I've been accepted. I can go do this. And then I have to write the actual presentation, do slides, and try and make it make sense, be coherent, or try and at least present the topic in a way that people might enjoy.
I was going to say, I'm sure on top of, you know, how you feel when you're presenting and you get the selections, goes, oh, it's a boost of confidence. But you also have all these external factors of pressure from your company and maybe community and peer pressure of those around you to be a person who goes and gives talks. Do either of you feel that?
In the past, I've felt it. There's a lot of prestige with certain organizations to get up on stage, give a talk, even if it doesn't really relate to what you enjoy or what you do. There's a desire for the business to have a person doing that. And it's always a fun thing to do, but it also gives you a lot of experience. It gives you a different perspective and experience in, you know, how do I present this information differently? Because my audience next week might not be the same group of people that I know or may even be used to. And you have to kind of learn to navigate the process of validating your thoughts and how you want to present that information to that different group of people, and if that makes sense.
It does, because you're reflecting your personal brand. And Treva, I know we've spoken a little bit about the pressure to build a personal brand when maybe your true desire is to just sit behind the keyboard and get your thing done.
Yes. Before starting with Linux Academy, a personal brand was something I just didn't care about. Like, I'm content in a room with a bunch of computers, just let me do the thing, and that's fine. But as I grow with the company and as I venture out more from my little Heidi bubble, I can see a huge benefits to having a personal brand. And also building that brand isn't as hard as I thought it would be. Like, I thought because I'm not a super outgoing person or I'm kind of awkward that it would be hard to be present in rooms full of people, but it gets easier as you progress.
I would say it absolutely does get easier as time goes on. And it also really helps to be the person willing to take the whiteboard marker at times when you're in a discussion with people. Not necessarily lead, but facilitate or help drive, because then you're up in front of people and talking about subjects and possibly having an exchange like we are now. And that can also be very empowering to have that free exchange of thoughts and ideas and communication at the same time.
So how do you balance though? Because I can imagine, you know, talk about being the one who takes the whiteboard marker. There are probably, you know, if I submit on topic A, it's more likely to get accepted than topic B. How do you balance presenting on what you're really passionate about, what supports a personal brand that you're kind of trying to build, and what maybe a company or the most likely thing to be accepted? How do you balance all of those different factors? Because they could all be the same thing. They could be three or four different things. And then we get into the three body problem, which is a really great book if anyone hasn't read it. But how do you balance all that?
I think it comes on a case by case basis because everyone is different. Everyone's wired differently. So you kind of have to learn to navigate that yourself as to what your priorities are and what you're passionate about. For example, I'm very passionate about bare metal deployment, but that's largely because I felt the pain of doing that. I've had to drive into data centers at 4 a.m. in the morning and hit a power button because we didn't have automation, because automation was actually in that specific environment was banned. You know, it makes a big difference to have that passion.
True. How about you? Have you struck a balance with, you know, kind of trying to build that personal brand, but also it sounds like there's pressure to get in front of people, get talks accepted, and it sounds like you're very passionate about the cephalopods. How have you struck a balance?
So far, I've been extremely lucky in the things that I super hardcore nerd out about, everybody else is nerding out about. So the majority of my proposals have been accepted. Without having a passion behind whatever it is that you're trying to talk about, you're not going to really engage the audience, and audience engagement is very important. It's important when you're live, it's important when you're recording, because I mean, I record videos when I teach, or I try to form presentations based on what I actually love and what I know a little bit of something about versus things that I'm encouraged to focus on but may not feel all that great about, because the audience is going to pick that up.
It sounds like if you're not sincerely passionate about it, do what it takes to say no to the pressure to present.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to pay off in the long run, because it's just not a good look to get up there and kind of go through the motions and read off of a screen versus being up there and being really on fire. Like, I'm sure that we've seen presentations on one side and on the other side and been really impressed with the guy that's super enthusiastic versus the guy that knows everything but doesn't really care.
Yeah, definitely. As far as getting talks accepted, what sort of tips do you have to increase the probability?
I would say, in my experience, it really helps to, even if it's a topic that you've been kind of told you need to go present, that if you can kind of give it your own perspective or your own angle, is probably the wrong word, but present it the way you would, not necessarily the way that you're told to sometimes. That really helps give you that emotion and power to really just make it happen. As for getting things accepted, it really comes down to having that passion and wanting to present something that is interesting. And you also have to keep in mind that it may not be interesting to everyone, but it might be interesting to a couple of people. And those couple of people might be the people that are really important in that situation. And it could also be the crazy off-the-wall ideas are great ideas, and those sometimes do make it through a CFP process.
Triva, to put you on the spot, I really liked, as we were kind of brainstorming about some of the things to cover on this podcast, you made a comment about, you know, having care for the community and the fact that putting yourself on the spot for 45 minutes and being uncomfortable might get someone interested. The things that you think are very basic are the foundations that bring someone else into the community.
Yeah. So as I've made very clear throughout this presentation, I am not very comfortable talking, but I am very passionate about getting other people into the community and getting other people into open source and just shouting from the rooftops how awesome OpenStack and open source in general is. Since starting with the company, I have met and I have been so, like, I'm very much in awe of so many of our students by their reactions to seeing me or to meeting any of the instructors here, and how how they're on fire for whatever it is that we're teaching. And to be able to do that with a live audience, and you know, everyone may not be into what you're saying, but there might be that one person out there who could be the next Elon Musk, who's inspired by my talk about cephalopods and stupid jokes. So if I can be a part of that, and if that takes enduring that 45 minutes or 2 hours or whatever amount of discomfort and being out of my comfort zone to do that, then absolutely, I'm all for it.
That's so great. I love it so much. But I do have to say, all the things we've talked about today, none of them matter if you don't submit on time. If you don't make that deadline, this is all out the window. So speaking of which, I'll put a little plug for the OpenStack Summit Vancouver call for presentations that closes February 8th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. So the Vancouver Summit this year is going to be a little bit different. The tracks are going to cover much more than just the OpenStack project. There'll be a container infrastructure track, CI/CD, an edge track, a community track, HPC, things that apply across communities, whether you're part of OpenStack or not. So if you're interested in any of those, and Treva and Julia have inspired you to submit, you should go to openstack.org/summit. You'll see a little button for Vancouver, and send in your CFP proposal.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Julia and Treva. You've been wonderful. We really appreciate you joining us to talk about submitting your first talks and all the awkwardness and fears that go along with that. If people want to reach out to you, what is the best way to do that?
Twitter. I'm always on the internets, and I am always connected to Twitter. My handle is OG Trilliums, which is ridiculous, or you can reach me on IRC on Freenode. My handle is Polyachi's Cloud.
For me, the best way to get in touch is Twitter or on IRC. My Twitter handle is Ashen Clouds. On Freenode IRC, you can find me as the Julia.
Awesome. And also thank you to our listeners for tuning into the first of what we hope are many podcasts. Next time, we're going to dive into what happens after the track chairs send you that email with your test results of, is it positive or negative? Will you be joining us or not at the summit? Because either way, there's a lot of emotions to work through in that process. So in that case, until next time, thanks for joining us.